Heyo, and here we go. Welcome to another episode of We Talk Music. I am your host, Mr. Brett Podcast, and I am truly happy to be joined today by a singer, a very talented singer. He has sung for Trans-Siberian Orchestra. He has his own band, Animal Drive. And the reason that we are here to talk to him today is because of the new album, Dirty Shirley, which he performs with George Lynch. He is Dino Jelusic. Dino, how are you doing?
What's up? I'm doing great. You?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I get to talk to you. We get to talk about Dirty Shirley. We get to talk about hard rock. You know, these are some of my favorite things, so why not?
Absolutely. I cannot agree more with you about that.
So, obviously, the real album that's coming out January 24th from Frontiers Music, that's Dirty Shirley. Let's talk about that. So first, let's talk about how it came about that you are working with George Lynch.
2 years ago, when I was playing with Animal Drive on Frontiers Rock Festival, Serafino, that was the first time Serafino heard me live, and he loved how we sounded, and he said he wants to hook me up with a guitar player like Doug Aldrich and George Lynch. That was literally what he said. apparently, Doug had about 4 albums more to do, and he said he can't find time to do another one. But then there's George Lynch. He can do 20 albums at the same time, so he had no problem putting album 21 to his bill at that time. And we just started talking about, you know, making a new album. All of a sudden, you know, I have 10 demos that I need to turn into real songs. I started working on it. I did vocals during my tour with TSO. And in the beginning of 2019, we pretty much had everything done. The album was mixed in May, and it's incredible. It's coming out in 7 days.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and it's a really, really strong album. I've listened to it a couple of times. I Disappear, I think, is a... it's a good song to start out with. Love Grandmaster. I think that might be my favorite on the album.
Thanks. That's definitely my favorite song on the record because it's so different and nobody expects that. And I think that's where we showed that we can really write something that nobody will expect. But it's so good. It's so unusual. And it's so different vocally than anything I did before that, you know. I decided to do like two equal vocals, and you never know where it's going to lead, you know. And George played this weird acoustic guitar. The percussion you hear is George just hitting the back of his acoustic guitar. That's what you hear on the record. So it's pretty interesting.
Wow. So then, I guess, let's talk about the songwriting then for it. Was that George? I mean, you talked about kind of making it into a song. How much came from George, and then how much came from you?
Well, I mean, he did all the music, but I had to do all the melodies and kind of, you know, without melodies and lyrics, it's just repetitive instrumental track, you know. If you heard Here Comes the King without vocals, it would just be the same thing over and over again. Once you hear it with vocals, you get the song. So there's a lot more in melodies. I see melody as part of music too. So I would say we both wrote music, even though he mainly wrote the music. But I played a lot of keyboards on the songs. I was really active in editing drums for this album. And, but I did lyrics and melodies, he did music, let's put it that way.
So then when it comes to lyrics especially, how much have you learned from from certainly from being in Animal Drive, but also with TSO, because I mean, you know, Paul O'Neill is one of the great lyricists, I think, and that, you know, there's so much out there. I mean, there's so much talent that has gone through that band. So would you suggest that you've learned, like, how much would you suggest you've learned from them?
The thing I've learned from Paul and from TSO is how to tell a story. I think I always knew how to write good lyrics, but once you know how to tell a story, it's a different level of performing, and that's where Paul really shined. He knew how to tell a story, and he knew how to make you tell a story, and that's what I've learned in TSO mostly. But you know, once you hang out with guys like Russell Allen and Jeff Scazzotto, you kind of become a better performer. When you watch those guys on stage and when you hear them sing, I became a better performer and a better singer in TSO. It's not a huge jump since I joined, but I can see the difference. I can see a lot more confidence, a lot more, you know, understanding. And working with Paul O'Neill was definitely a special experience because I not only toured while he was alive, I was supposed to record a new song for the new Trans-Siberian Orchestra album. And while I was on my way to the studio, I got a call that they found him dead. You know, so it was, I was right on the airport when they called me to cancel my flight. And I found out 2 hours later that they canceled my flight because he died while I was on my way to the studio. So it was very, very tough, tour. Second one, because 2 months after he passed away, Dave Z, our bass player, died in a vehicle crash on his tour with Adrenaline Mob. So that tour was very bitter. And out of all the people that were in TSO for years, they chose me to do the tribute song on the West. Kayla Reeves was doing the tribute on the East. So yeah, I mean, learned a lot, and I'm grateful that I got TSO, because it opened up a lot of doors. I'm not sure I would be in Frontiers if TSO didn't happen.
Yeah, because there's no doubt about the fact that, I mean, you're so young, and the fact that you've been able to work with such a wide range of artists and the top talent that you've been able to work with. I mean, I think it must speak a lot about you as well. I mean, not only your talent, but also I think maybe your willingness to like, you know, give it your all. Because, I mean, I can say that from listening to your vocals, I mean, you sure sound like you're giving it your all.
I give 120% on everything I record. Dirty Shirley, I've worked that album like really to the bone. Like every song has a different story, different timbre, and I wanted to give it all. You know, it's all in, or I'm just not going to be part of something. I don't see projects. I don't make difference between my main band and projects. Everything where I sing on, you know, there's no compromising. You know, if I wanted to do compromising, I would sing in Croatia. All Croatian, I would be doing what everybody does, singing pop, but I didn't want to do it. If I'm working with George Lynch, it's either going to be a top-notch record, or I'm just not going to put it out. And, you know, hopefully we made it. It's a very different record. It's very diverse. Some people don't like diverse records, but I talked to a lot of people. I did a lot of interviews, and everybody loves the fact that this album just takes you places, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no question. I mean, when you get talent and you put it in a room or just in a recording together, I mean, it's always going to shine through the talent, and I think that there's no question in this case that absolutely happens. I guess So then for me, the next question is, when you are going on to something else, like how much do you, when you decide to push yourself, like, do you kind of know and understand what you can do with your voice, but then when do you decide to try to push past what you think you can do?
I know what I can do with my voice, but the thing is, even though I'm just 27, the amount of songs I wrote, the amount of songs I produced and that I played on, even before all these things happened, is, you know, as soon as I've heard George demos, it only took one listen to know, like, as soon as I've heard the riff, I was like, okay, I know what I'm going to do with this song. This is a lynch mob kind of song. It's going to be bluesy, hard rock, with rasp, blah, blah, blah. As soon as I heard Grandmaster, I was like, wow, okay, I got to do something differently. And actually what I was trying to do, so you know how the song goes, I was trying to, on the verses, I was trying to get like a canon. And it's like a little tribute to Chris Cornell and Layne Staley. I was trying to get like a talk between Layne Staley and Chris Cornell in that song. You know, the first part is sung by Cornell and then Layne Staley is the second voice, but they always sing the harmony. So you kind of get, you know, that kind of vibe with that guitar. And I don't know, it's, you know, I was trying to think out of the box and to get something that's more, you know, I don't know. It seemed right when I was doing it. We'll see how people react to the song.
Well, like I say, I love it. So far, good reaction. But,
cool. Yeah, most of the people that I talked to named that song as one of their favorites. So, cool.
So I'm interested then in like what kind of feedback did you get from George as you were going through and working? Did he send stuff back and say like, oh, maybe try this or try that?
He only, from 12 songs, for 11 songs he said, that's it, perfect. Only for Dying we went back and forth, because he wanted to get more poppy vibe. He said, you know, get rid of the heavy singing, get rid of vibrato. He literally said, go Justin Bieber on this song. And I said, okay. I said, I grew up listening to R&B and blues. I have no problem singing R&B. And I said, if you want, I can go more Bruno Mars on this. And now that I tell you, you can kind of sense that it has more R&B feel to it than other songs. Because, you know, he's playing this classical guitar throughout the song. I was playing all the keyboard, all the pianos. But that song is more poppy than rock, you know. And I still think it's a great song. That song was supposed to be a single, but we decided to go with I Disappear instead.
Yeah, I mean, the harmony vocals on I Disappear, like, I really like what you did with that. I think it sounds really, really excellent.
Thank you, yeah. Yeah, that's more kind of Alice in Chains.
Mm-hmm.
It's core and meaningful kind of vibe. I don't know. The song, you know, the songs are so diverse. I just wanted to give so much more for my voice. You know, people, when they hear me singing, everybody's pretty much comparing me to Coverdale, Dio, Ray Gillen, you know, those kind of singers. But there's a lot of singers that nobody can hear until I get a different song. Once I get a song that's out of the box, I can show my, you know, my Janis Joplin, my Elton John, you know, something that people are not used to. So, yeah.
Now, one of the things that you did, of course, with Animal Drive was you released the four covers on the album. Now, of course, one of them is Judgment Day by Whitesnake, and certainly you do a great job of sounding like David Coverdale. Is it a challenge then when you're doing a cover to try to sound like, do you try to sound like the original artist? Do you try to sound like you channeling them, or is it kind of like trying to just be you, and then if it so happens to sound like them, so be it?
Yeah, it's pretty much just me trying to sound like me. Judgment Day was exception because Monkey Business was two takes. I literally did two takes and said, that's it, I'm not singing, you know, I'm not doing 10 takes of a cover. It's a cover song. I'm just going to do me. If it sounds good, sounds good. If it's not, I'm going to try a couple more times. Judgment Day, Monkey Business was two takes. The Look was two takes. Uncle Tom's Kevin was two, three takes. Judgment Day was the only song I went back and forth because I was listening to David. He is so good at storytelling too that the first version I did was okay. But then I said, you know what? Let me just listen to David. Let me try to get that kind of, you know, I was trying to get all the details from him. Since he's my favorite singer, I said, okay, you know what? I did these three covers my own. Let me try to get Judgment Day as close to David as it gets. But I'm so influenced by him that it was not that hard. I was just trying to get every detail down, you know, to kind of, you know, to do justice to Whitesnake. But usually I'm not trying to emulate any of those singers. It's natural.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a fantastic song, and I mean, your version is excellent. What made you decide on those tracks? Like, you know, Uncle Tom's Cabin is a fantastic song, but it's not the kind of song that I think you think of when you consider a cover for a cover song.
Well, Frontiers wanted, you know, 80s stuff, us covering 80s stuff, and believe it or not, they wanted us to do Pull Me Under by Dream Theater.
Wow.
They wanted us to do Revolution Calling from Queensryche. They wanted Down Incognito from Winger and Youth Gone Wild. And I said, okay, that's quiet. And I said, okay, let's go with Monkey Business instead of Youth Gone Wild, because nobody ever did Monkey Business. I said, Winger is probably my favorite band out of that era. But I said, you know what? I love Winger, and Pool is my favorite album. If I do Down Incognito, I will be so fed up recording that song that I'll probably never listen to Pool again. So I don't want to do Winger. And I sang with Kip so many times. And as far as Pull Me Under, that song is so perfect the way it is that, you know, there's nothing we could change in that song. And we don't have any keyboards in the band. So I would have to sing James LaBrie parts and play keyboards from Kevin Moore. Can you imagine how hard that would be to do live?
Wow.
You know, we do all these songs live. And believe it or not, I wanted to do Queensryche because I did Eyes of a Stranger when I was in Los Angeles, and I really can do Queensryche. But none of the guys from Animal Drive wanted to do Queensryche, so that's the reason why we didn't do Revolution Calling. I was pushing for that song, but they just didn't feel like doing it, so we ended up doing Uncle Tom's Cabin, which is more straightforward hard rock with the bluesy intro, and then we made our own intro, because that intro from Uncle Tom's Cabin, you can't really emulate that. It's so free form that you gotta do something different. So my guitar player made his own intro. It's pretty cool, and you know, we had fun. It was, that EP was done in 5 days, and then we decided to go with that producer in that studio for this new album. So now we did the new album in the same studio with the same sound, and I'm really satisfied how it turned out.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I certainly am looking forward to hearing it as well. You know, it's funny you say that. I love Winger and Pull, especially Down Incognito, just one of my absolute favorite Winger tracks of all time, for sure.
Mad, Junkyard Dogs, Bell I'm Under, Who's the One, you know, In My Veins, In for the Kill, Lucky One. I mean, such a great record. I mean, every time somebody says something bad about Winger, he is either an idiot, deaf, or he's just a crazy Metallica fan, because there's nothing bad you can say about Winger. Kip Winger is one of the greatest musicians on God's earth. They, as a band, are top-notch. Songs are great. I just love Winger.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, Kip is such an underrated singer, and I mean, his songwriting. But and then, of course, when you add him with Red Beach and the like, I mean, wow, that's incredible talent.
Oh, yeah. I love Winger.
Yeah. I could totally just go off on a tangent. We could talk Winger for a while, but
but I love all of the Winger albums. I'm probably the only person in the world that has all their albums hard copies on my shelf right now. I ordered Pull special edition from Brazil because there's no way I could find that album anywhere. I love the Winger 4, the Prague one. I love Karma. I love Better Days Coming. I love In the Heart of the Young. I love everything from Winger. I'm just a Winger fan. And Kip knows it. And I was really proud when Kip told me that he listened to Animal Drive and that he really loved the songs. I was really happy to hear that.
Yeah, I can well imagine. So then, you know, when you were young, like, at what point did you really say, okay, I want to be a hard rock singer and I want to be this guy?
I mean, I wanted to be a rock singer since I was a kid, but when I was a kid it was impossible because I had this, you know, little voice and everything. But as soon as my voice changed, you know, I said, okay, this is what I want to do. And I think somewhere around 2012, I started to sound the way I sound today, you know, more or less. I started to develop this, you know, new sound of my voice, and then I just listened to different singers, kind of, you know, getting the picture how it should sound. And, you know, this is, I kind of developed it through the years, and there's a lot of different influences I have. You know, I have this riffing, R&B riffing, combined with rasp, combined with clean, high singing. You know, I can sing really low, so I just try out everything I can do with my voice. Some people love, you know, once I did that Ray Gillen cover, all of a sudden everybody thinks I should sing like that all the time. You know, but I'm not Ray Gillen, you know. He sang only high all the time. When I sing high, I might sound like that, but I have my lows, I have my mid-range, I have a soft voice, I have a heavy voice. You know, if I have all of that, why would I use only one type of voice, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And again, you know, it's a perfect way to tie it back to Dirty Shirley in that this is an album, I think, that does require you and ask of you to use that entire voice.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I know that I'm nearing the end of my time. Is there intention to go out and tour with Dirty Shirley?
It's crazy. This is exactly how I ended all my previous interviews. It's everybody looked at a clock, and when it was 25, everybody said, "Okay, I'm running out of time. Are you guys going to tour?" That's always the last question when everybody's running out of time. I really wanted to tour with this, and I told George that I'm going to be in LA if he wants to hang out, if he wants to, you know, get a beer, and we can talk about touring. But he's so busy with Lynch Mob and working on those records that I'm not sure it's going to happen in closer future. And also, it depends on Serafino. So we'll see. I'm going to talk to Serafino. If this album goes well, I would really love to tour with this.
Yeah, because I guess that it's interesting because it's the kind of thing that as much as you probably you certainly want to tour with it, the opportunity to work with George Lynch and do an album like this is probably just too much to turn down.
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't turn it down. I love George. I love the way he sees music, and he's so out of the box. I would do another album with him tomorrow, you know, if it would be possible. Even though I have so many albums to do before that, but I would be in for it tomorrow, right away.
Yeah, I mean, he's so inventive. Like you can always tell a George Lynch song because there's just like you actually, there's a lot of guitarists where you kind of know where it's going to go. With George Lynch, you have absolutely no clue where the song is going to go.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, there are some guitar players that I adore, like Zakk Wylde, but you always know where Zakk Wylde's song will go, you know? And I'm a huge Zakk Wylde fan. From his solo records, from Pride and Glory.
Oh, yes.
Oil of the Black from Black, you know, Oil of the Black from Black Label Society is my favorite album. And Will Hunt played drums, who played on Dirty Shirley. I love his Aussie albums, you know, No Rest for the Wicked, come on. You know, that's probably the most underrated Aussie record. Then No More Tears, you know, Black Rain. There's so many great records. But you just know where Zakk Wylde's song will go. George is so different from all the guitar players I've been working with. He's just so different.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's amazing, and you're amazing, and so Dirty Shirley, therefore, amazing. But I'll give you the chance right now just to tell the fans where to find Dirty Shirley when it comes out on January 24th.
In any CD's you know, record store. You can find it on Frontier's official website. You can order it. You can pre-order it now. There's going to be 100 copies signed from me and George. Yeah, it's coming out in 7 days. I'm really excited, and well, hopefully it gets, you know, a great reception from the audience.
Well, I certainly urge everybody to go get a copy, to go listen to it, because I think it's fantastic. There's a lot of different sounds on it. Dino, you're an awesome singer, an awesome guest. I hope to have you back on when the Animal Drive album gets released. So all the best in the future.
Thank you very much. Yeah, hopefully talk to you soon.
Yeah, for sure. It was fantastic. We can talk more Winger.
Exactly. If you want to talk Winger, just call anytime.
Okay, no problem. I always, I'm up for talking Winger, no doubt.
Cool.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Dino.
Well, thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
Have a good one.
All right. Bye now.
You too.
Disappear.